This is Reverend Joseph Caesar, and welcome to the Good News Program. I am truly blessed and honored to be called by God to be His servant to spread the good news of salvation to you all. You have done the right thing. Don't change the channel. You are not here by chance, but by divine guidance. Well, thank you again. This is Reverend Caesar that is back again on BBS Radio to bring the good news of salvation. I'm always happy that I can come bi-weekly and speak to you on the right things, on the righteousness of God. Thank you for listening. Thank you for inviting me in your home. I pray that today's message would be a blessing to you and your family. Don't forget, spread the good news, spread the good word around that Jesus Christ is Lord. But I want to talk to you today from the book of Matthew, chapter 27 and verse 15. And the topic is taking the place of Barabbas. And it reads, "Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to releasing to the multitude one prisoner whom they wished. And after that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, they had gathered together Pilate to them, 'Whom do you want me to release to you?'" That's what Pilate was saying. "Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew that they had handed him over because of envy. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, Pilate's wife said to send to him, saying, "Have nothing to do with that just man. For I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. So the governor answered and said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Well, let me talk to you today on Barabbas. We don't know who is Barabbas. Who was Barabbas? We don't know anything about his family. We don't know if he was married or single. We sure don't know how old he was. We can tell what we know in three short sentences. We can tell Barabbas was guilty. Jesus was innocent. Barabbas lives and Jesus died. And with that, we turn to some basic questions about this man and the role he played in the death of Christ. He never speaks a word in the gospel records. No, Barabbas never did. Yet all four Gospels mention him by name. The story occupies at least 38 verses of the New Testament. So who really is or was Barabbas? Matthew calls him a notorious prisoner. In Matthew 27, verse 16, Mark says he was in prison with the insurrectionist who had committed murder. And you'll find that in Mark 15, chapter 7. Luke says he was in prison for insurrection and murder. And now you also find that in Luke 23, 19. John adds that he had taken part in a rebellion. Check out his character in John 19, 40. And when Peter preached in Solomon's portico near the temple courts, he called him a murderer. All these talked about this man's character. He was a cold-blooded killer. As with many terrorists in our day today, he may not have looked dangerous, but he was a menace to decent society. And when you add the word notorious, it really means that everyone knew about Barabbas. Prison was where he belonged, not in society. He was there because of heinous crimes. So why should anyone want him to be set free? Why? And so we look a little further, and we must look down to see, who was Jesus? The question of Jesus' identity is not easily answered. It's clear that Pilate struggled mightily to understand this strange man standing before him. But Pilate knew this much. Pilate knew that he was a Jew. He was a rabbi. He was not a wealthy man. He worked miracles. He spoke in parables. He made strange claims to himself. He had a large following, and he had important enemies. However, Pilate mulled over all those things in his mind as he considered the case of Jesus, who, standing there before him, having been beaten, certainly did not seem like a threat to anyone. Pilate was the cautious politician caught between the proverbial rock and a hard place. Pilate knew Jesus was innocent, or at least any crimes he had committed were not crimes against Roman law. Jesus had done nothing worthy of death. Nothing. Three times Pilate says, "I find no fault, no guilt in this man." Pilate's problem can be stated this way. He knew who Jesus was not, that's for sure, but he didn't know who he was. He wasn't a criminal. No, Jesus wasn't a crook either, a thief, a bandit, a revolutionary, a murderer, or a lawbreaker. As far as Pilate was concerned, Jesus had done nothing wrong at all. Certainly nothing deserving of death. But he didn't know who Jesus was. Was he a mystic? A visionary? A dreamer? an idealist teacher, or was he something more? Was he? So under the pressure from the Jews, Pilate had to make a fast decision. So the way the soldiers treated Jesus, it was the most heinous crime in the world. So Pilate, looking at Jesus in shock and pity, Pilate says, "Don't you realize I have power either to free you or to crucify you?" In John 19:10, that surely wasn't a boast. It was a statement of sober fact. As a Roman governor of Judea, he alone could condemn a man to death. If it is true that many of the Jewish leaders wanted Jesus dead, it's also true that they could do nothing without Pilate's permission. And so that brings us to the bottom line. Jesus had done nothing deserving of death. And so Pilate, hounded by the Jewish leaders, afraid to stand up for the truth, trying to find a way out, easy cop out, Pilate decides to wash his hands of the ugly affair. But water cannot wash away sins, no detergent whatsoever. But of course, that never works. That washing never works. After 2,000 years, we can see him clearly. Pilate stands for all those men of power who lack the courage of their own convictions. So he offered the mob a choice: Jesus or Barabbas? Who will it be? But why did the crowd choose Barabbas? Let's look a little further. Why the crowd chose a criminal over the Savior? The gospel writers carefully know that Pilate tried several times to release Jesus, knowing that at Passover every year, a prisoner was released from jail. He offered them Jesus or Barabbas, thinking that they would prefer the popular young preacher. Although he was a little controversial, to the bloodthirsty killer, Barabbas. Humankind, most of the time you find them always want to settle for mediocrity. So who would really choose a murderer over Jesus? That's the question. But Pilate severely underestimated the hatred the Jewish leaders had stirred up against Jesus. He thought that his declaration of this man's innocence would be enough. Plus, he couldn't think of a reason to kill him. Why would you kill a man like Jesus? The question keeps coming up. Why indeed? Who sort of people prefer a killer to a teacher of God's truth? Lest we get too far ahead of ourselves, it is important to remember that Caiaphas and Annas and the members of the Sanhedrin had evidently made up their minds a long time ago that Jesus must die. So they planned and plotted and schemed. All the while, their anger simmered and grew, and then finally boiled over. Jesus must die. When Judas came with his pitiful offer to betray the Lord, oh, they jump all over it like wild and rice. Yes, offering him 30 pieces of silver. Judas took the money, took the bait, having sold his soul in the bargain. Sold his soul to the devil, to Lucifer. Once the religious leaders had Jesus in their grasp, they weren't going to let him go. They had evidence. Never mind that it was trumped up, mostly lies and half-truths, and statements twisted out of context. None of that mattered. No. Jesus must die. So the trials of Jesus had proceeded through the night. They shuffled Jesus from one venue to another. His hands bound so he could not escape. Herod now got his chance. So did Caiaphas. Pilate talked to him twice. Through it all, Jesus said almost nothing. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. Isaiah 53:7. You know something? There are times to talk and times when talking doesn't matter. This was a time when talking didn't matter, knowing that the court was rigged against him and the outcome foreordained. Jesus mostly kept silent during that long night. He had his most extended conversation with Pilate, a man who was both fascinated and puzzled by him. But all of that doesn't explain the crowd's choice. Perhaps they were so inflamed by hatred that they actually preferred a murderer to Jesus. Or perhaps they feared Jesus more than Barabbas. In sane times, this would not make sense. But those were not sane times. When a crowd has been whipped up into a frenzy, they will believe the worst about the best. And the facts doesn't make any sense. It doesn't matter. In Mark 15:11 says the chief priest stirred up the crowd to have them choose Barabbas. And Matthew adds that the elders were involved. The elders, meaning the old men, the gray beard most likely to gain a hearing. Any student of crowd psychology knows how this works. It only takes 4 or 5 men in strategic places to start the chant. Doesn't take the whole world to do that. And so they shouted, "Give us Barabbas. We want Barabbas." And so, sensing the mood of the crowd, Pilate makes one last feeble attempt at justice. And he says, "What shall I do then with the one you call the King of the Jews? What shall I do?" But it is too late now. The crowd began to shout, "Crucify him! Crucify him! Jesus must die." And so what difference does it make now? Pilate gonna ask a question. In some ancient manuscripts, his name is given as Jesus Barabbas. That means the choice was between Jesus Barabbas or Jesus of Nazareth. What a choice it was. Between a murderer and an innocent man. Between darkness and light. Between evil and good. Consider the consequences of the choice the mob made. For them, it meant assuming the guilt for Jesus' death. All the people answered, "Let his blood be on us and our children." In Matthew 27:25. The awesome callousness of those words means that the crowd was given over completely to bloodlust. They wanted to just Jesus to die, and didn't care what happened to them and their children. For Jesus, it meant more suffering and a brutal, bloody death on the cross. For Barabbas, it meant that he, the guilty, would go free, while Jesus, the innocent, would die in his place. One ancient tradition says that after he was released, Barabbas went to Golgotha to watch Jesus die. There is nothing implausible about that. Why wouldn't he go and watch the man whose death set him free? That's the irony. There was one writer by the name, I think was Thomas Whitler. He wrote about the crowd's choice of Barnabas over Jesus. And you know, he mentioned 7 words that summarized that, you know, momentous event. He says in 1, it was popular, but the popular choice is often wrong. 2, it was frenzied. When passion rules, judgment dies. 3, it was criminal to prefer a murderer over the Prince of Life. 4, it was foolish to choose an enemy and reject a friend like Jesus. 5, it was fatal in that it guaranteed judgment to the nation. 6, it was predicted in Isaiah 53:3. And 7, it was overruled by God to bring salvation to the world. And in that final point, we see the wisdom and greatness of God, who could use the evil choice of a foolish mob to bring salvation to the world. It is the ultimate irony that those who do disrespect Jesus could be saved by the death they chose for him. They didn't even realize that. And so what should it really mean to us? What does it really mean to us? There are three great players in this drama: Pilate, Jesus, and Barabbas. We are very much like Pilate and Barabbas, but in very different ways. And those ways both involve who Jesus is to us. We are all like Pilate. One of the most striking depictions of Barabbas and Jesus comes from a man named George Tinworth, who in the 1817s produced a terracotta relief called The Release of Barabbas. Pilate stands in the middle, washing his hands of the whole sordid mess. To Pilate's left is Jesus, hands bound, being led away to be crucified. There is about his person a solemn, dignified sadness. But the case of Barabbas is different. He steps forward as if stepping off the relief altogether. He seems happy, buoyant, his hands stretched out to accept congratulations from the soldiers. His whole demeanor seems slighting and slight-hearted. Underneath Barabbas are the words, "The world's choice." Indeed, he is. The world always chooses Barabbas because it prefers the lawbreaker to the good shepherd. Figure of Jesus, Tinworth says, wants us to know that the world takes care of his own. Even the soldiers preferred Barabbas to Jesus. As it was then, so it is today. Christ could never have been the world's choice, which is why they crucify him. And this is an irony here. If they knew that man's redemption would be spirit, if he knew that man was going to be free, human was going to be free through the blood of Jesus, they would not have crucified him. Man would have been in bondage and they would have faced their own problems. We may feel glad that we don't have to make the same decision Pontius Pilate did on that tumultuous day in Jerusalem. But the question he asked still hangs in the air. What shall I do then with Jesus? The choice before us is far more difficult because we know so much more than Pilate ever knew. He believed Jesus to be innocent, but caved under the pressure and set a criminal free. What will the end before us who know the truth about Jesus and still prefer Barabbas? What? What will the end be for us? No one can escape that question. No one. So long as Christ is popular, then going along with him, following him, choosing him is easy. But the moment of hard decision comes sooner or later to all of us. We each have our own passion week, where the truth crowds is unto us. The world has made its choice. The world made that choice that Jesus must die. Now we must make our own choice. Will it be Jesus? Or will it be Barabbas? That question is to be or not to be. You must make the choice. We have our own Passion Week where the truth crowds, and when it crowds in on us, we must make the decision. The world made its choice that Jesus must die. So our choice is, again, my friends, we must make our own choice. Consider this question. Will it be Jesus or will it be Barabbas? I pray that you will choose Jesus instead. And so, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word and that you has used me as a conduit. You has used my mouth to speak through me, Lord. I pray, oh God, that you will continue to use me and bless those who have been listening. May your word penetrate the recesses of their hearts. In the name of the Father, the Son, and His Holy Spirit, I pray that this word will transform the lives of those whom have listened, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for the radio station, BBS Radio. I pray that you continue to bless them and protect them and guide them and increase their business. And I commit everything into your hand. And for those of you who are listening, I love you with the love of the Lord. And Jesus is Lord. Amen.
If this ministry has been a blessing and helped you through the Word of God, please donate. There's a donate button at the top of the show page. Any amount would be welcomed. Thank you in advance. This money will help keep the program Good News airing on BBS Radio. Remember, Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." And Romans 10:9 says, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved."